Oscar goes to...
And the winner is...
And the Oscar goes to...
The winner is...
The Oscar goes to...
MMOW's Oscar Race Update.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. We're dealing with the fallout from the Golden Globes, which there is... fallout to be had and talked about.
And yes, the Imagine Dragons song just came into my head once again.
Well, that's because they just played last night during the halftime show. True. Lil Wayne was wearing 18 layers of clothing. Looked like Joey Tribbiani from that Friends episode.
You said a word that reminds me of another movie. And now the Friends song. Now the Friends song is in my head. So yeah. Thank you very much.
Exactly. You're welcome. That's what we're here to do. We're also here to talk about what happened at the Golden Globes one last time. But instead of purely just looking back, we're going to look back at reactions, fallout from the Golden Globe. Look forward, we got the Critics' Choice Award coming up this Sunday, as well as a bunch of guilds across the spectrum here have released their nominees. We're going to get into some of the numbers. This is what we call probably a horse race episode, right?
You said it before the show. It's like, Mike, it's horse race time. We got to do horse race episodes. It makes some world of sense. We got to keep you up to date. So we got the guilds today. We got BAFTA, Critics' Choice Preview later this week. We will have some more OSPs, but a lot to bite into, especially after basically the Hollywood Foreign Press just threw everything, everybody's work of a year's worth of work.
Rolled out that unhinged grenade into the middle of the Oscars race and said, play with it.
They just sprayed Silly String off over everybody's hard work.
Yeah. And now we're all starting from zero.
Yeah, starting from scratch. They're Toni Collette in the room with the miniatures, having a hissy fit, just breaking it all up.
In the post-it note, it just says, make sure Remy wins.
Yeah,
so that's where we are.
We loved Queen Tour circa, whatever, 71.
That's where we are in this backlash-type place. And there is backlash, Mike. Why don't you tip us off with the first story about the backlash from the Golden Globes right now?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we scooped Scott Feinberg.
Yes.
You know, that finally happened.
I believe that's called a broken clock being right twice a day.
By accident, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. But no, we basically put out our show like right after the Globes, and we were like, everybody who's voting on these awards for the rest of the year are going to look at take these Golden Globe awards with a grain of salt.
Sure.
So there's going to be a backlash to the Golden Globes. Scott actually nailed this down and crystallized it and spoke it better than I ever could, as usual.
As he does.
Said, essentially, you know, the very, very logical way, the Oscar voting started yesterday.
Yes.
For nominations. And that is at the perfect time slot to be reactionary to the Golden Globes. So the positive stories from the Globes will probably carry over, and the negative stories will probably carry over. So everybody's mad at Bohemian Rhapsody. Maybe now you get a backlash against Bohemian Rhapsody. Everybody's happy at Glenn Close. Probably get Glenn Close nominated.
Yeah, we thought that might be the case. I just think it's peculiar that like we're going to pick and choose what to be upset about. Like if we thought the HFPA was so out of their minds, like a lot of people do, and there's this big surge of upsetness about Bohemian Rhapsody winning Best Picture Drama. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't be equally as like, how could they do this? They're crazy. But good job with the Glenn Close call. Like, why are we picking and choosing what underdogs it's okay to support?
Because Twitter is like a mob, and a mob is like a metaphor from South Park where they go, rabble! Rabble, rabble! Rabble, rabble, rabble! Right? I mean, that's what I think of.
Yeah, you're probably right. And again, we are human beings, and we like being hypocritical and subjective.
When one person says, Elsie Fisher should not have to deal with this.
Yeah, we'll get on top of that next in a second. Historically, there is a precedent for the Academy kind of writing the more zany or off-kilter picks of the HFPA.
Yeah.
Every time the Hollywood Foreign Press does something that's seems totally off base. The Academy does have a precedent for riding the ship. Aaron Taylor Johnson upset Mahershala Ali for supporting actor for Nocturnal Animals. He ends up not even being nominated from that film, as Michael Shannon was the Academy representative in the nominations there for supporting actor just a couple years ago. Evita, back in 1997, that Madonna picture, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Ooh. I sing that to myself every night before I go to sleep. That won Best Picture, Musical, or Comedy in the film year 96.
That's a very sad joke.
It beat out Jerry Maguire in Fargo. That's absurd.
That is absurd.
And then both those two pictures went on to be nominated in the Best Picture category that year. Evita was nowhere to be found. So there's precedent here for the Academy getting right what causes outrage.
I wonder if this is like just the scheduling madness of the calendar, where like last year, I think we had 2 weeks between the Globes and the Oscar nomination voting, and this year the Oscars moved
very
back
truncated
up,
yeah,
and now we're right on the heels of the Globes, so the rabble rabbles are being heard.
Gonna be very interesting to see how that plays out, and never mind what it means parlaying it into next year when the voting time frame is going to be even sooner, because the Academies are going to be in the first week of February, or February 9th, I think.
Yeah, so like the Critics Awards are essentially going to win the Oscars next year. They'll all have to listen to the critics, because
I think the Critics Choice, one of them, not the Critics Choice,
but the Critics Associations.
Right. They're going to be the biggest precursors until Academy Awards. Certainly going to cause headlines.
Now, I know everything moves up, but you're right. I think it will. I think some things won't be able to adjust fully and spread themselves out fully, so we'll have some weird time frames.
That digestion
and
period is not going to be there. We're not going to be able to sit back and think about if we're overreacting or not. We're just going to be like, go, go, go. Mm-hmm. There's also two instances in the not so distant past where the Globes went a little wonky with their choices and the Oscars followed suit. And both of them happen to be in Best Picture drama categories for the Globes, so I'm terrified. Mm. But when Crash upset Brokeback Mountain at the Globes for Best Picture drama, obviously we all remember, it went on to do the same at the Oscars. When Shakespeare in Love upset Saving Private Ryan in the Globes drama category, it did the same at the Oscars.
So can we have a time machine, go back and listen to all the punditry back then? Well, we didn't have Twitter, obviously. We had AOL chat rooms.
Yes, yes. ASL.
We had Tom Hanks and Dave Chappelle talking in a coffee shop.
We did. We had that
Meg
as well.
Ryan.
Yep.
What else do we have in 2005? We had iPod. iPod.
The U2 song with the dancing silhouette with
iPod
just the wire.
Was pretty new, so everybody was just listening to their iPods. So right. Nobody was fucking paying attention in 2005. So nobody was yelling that loudly about Brokeback Mountain. If they were, they were quiet about it and really, you know, classy about it. So
well,
that's the problem.
If you are a supporter of Bohemian Rhapsody to win the Best Picture at the end of the day, I've got some good news and some bad news for you. Since 2004, the Globe's Best Picture drama winner has only gone on to win the Best Picture Oscar four times. The bad news for us that don't think Bo Rap is worthy is that each of those four times were races which would have been considered wide open, like this year's may be. Moonlight, we all remember the La La Land disaster that Faye Dunaway brought in. 12 Years a Slave, which was probably the favorite going in, though Gravity certainly had its momentum that year. Argo, which may have won as a compromise pick in the field that had Django, Life of Pi, and Zero Dark Thirty competing with it in the Golden Globes drama category. And Slumdog Millionaire, which was the likeliest favorite on the list, though it still had competition from Frost Nixon, Benjamin Button, and The Reader that year. So again, there's good and bad news at the end of the day. Like always, nobody knows anything, and this is setting the stage for something unprecedented.
It's setting a stage for not Bohemian Rhapsody, is what I think.
I hope.
Because
yeah.
There's no way, if it's being voted on the heels of this major backlash.
You think
they're lemmings
upset
Academy.
Yeah.
They don't want to. They want to be popular this year, but I don't know if they want to be that popular.
And we just discussed when the Oscars follow suit for the biggest upsets, when they copy what the Golden Globes' big upsets are, retrospectively, with hindsight, they look like terrible picks. Crash is a terrible Best Picture winner in hindsight. Shakespeare in Love over Saving Private Ryan is a bad pick in hindsight.
Not great.
Yeah, so, you know.
Even though Shakespeare in Love has its moments.
It does. It's Saving Private Ryan changed movies.
Yes.
So, at least war movies. So, it's a lot to take in there. That's kind of where we stand after the biggest shock of the night and the most drama that fell out of the Best Picture drama category, ironically, for the Golden Globes at the end of the night there Sunday. That's where we stand with Best Picture. We're going to get into the Guild stuff in a minute. But secondly, just before we do, we had another big story that came out of that wasteland of Twitter that you just talked about.
Yeah, so Elsie Fisher, the actress, 15-year-old actress from 8th grade. This is Bo Burnham's movie. She congratulated Bohemian Rhapsody in a tweet like a class act. And basically said that I'm so happy for Bohemian Rhapsody and Rami Malek. She's there. She's having the night of their life, like our friends at Next
Good for you,
Picture
Elsie.
Said. She's very, you know, just swept up in the moment. And number one, even if she's not swept up in the moment, if she's happy for Bohemian Rhapsody, let the kid be happy for Bohemian Rhapsody.
I mean, she's being a totally gracious loser in her category.
Michael.
She's just out there wanting to wish her friends well. She's excited. She's still a fucking kid and surrounded by all these A-listers.
If you like a nice movie about a band that everybody loves, are you a supporter of potential pedophiles?
Of course not. What are these people saying as cyberbullies? What are you saying? If you like a movie about Queen, then you are essentially just patting them on the back, saying, yes, supposed pedophiles are good. Thumbs up also for supposed pedophiles. Potential pedophiles, thumbs up. Don't edit this later.
Yeah, let's not be a drop there.
What the hell? Don't edit this and use it as like a hot mic moment against me later.
It's gonna be just a campaign slogan against you.
I mean, never run for office now. But that's the final straw. Michael, of course she's not saying that.
This backlash is so, I don't understand it. It's so ill-timed. I don't necessarily think it's misplaced. Because if you want to have backlash against Bryan Singer's attachment and his relationship with the movie and all the accusations against him, I get that. But I went back and forth with film critic Max Borg on Twitter. My stance essentially was this. If Singer's attachment was a big enough deal to cause this type of outrage where people are going to take it out on a teenage kid that got nominated for the first time.
Said, yay!
Right!
For you!
Good job, movie. Good job, Mr. Robot guy.
Yeah.
If it meant that much to you and you were so off-put that how could you possibly promote that movie because this accused, terrible person is attached to it, you had this move at any point prior to this movie making $750 million, you could have had this outrage, right? You didn't have to go see it 4 or 5 times in studios. You didn't have to tweet about it and put it on Facebook and your status and stuff. Like, I don't think this was the wrong place for these accusations and outrage to come. It's just the wrong time. You could have done this during the pre-production process, the shooting process, the post-production process, the marketing campaign, the theatrical run.
I also think the target is pretty much dead wrong, because how about you get mad at the Hollywood Foreign Press, who are adults.
Of course.
Discerning adults.
No, we're going to get mad at the lead from 8th grade, a totally
different
movie.
We're going
to
get mad at a 15-year-old kid having the night of her life saying a tweet with a bunch of exclamation points in it instead of, you know, spitting fire at the Hollywood Foreign Press, spitting fire at 20th Century Fox, spitting fire at the people involved with that production. If you hate that production, you have a right to just punch up, please.
Yeah.
Punch up.
And do it in a way that you're not... You know, you could do this without personally insulting people as well.
True.
You could take aim at the industry at large.
Everybody could be a class act, and we can make an argument for once.
Ridiculous.
Can't we?
Even though it is Twitter. It is possible. Believe me. We do it. We get in disagreements without taking cheap shots. It happens. I did want to just highlight one argument Borg made. Not necessarily defending any of the attacks on LC, but he did put it in a perspective I hadn't thought about as far as regular people maybe not knowing or maybe at least not being aware of the Singer attachment to the film until they had seen the movie already and done their part in promoting it on their end. Here's his quote, his tweet, and I think there's a modicum of difference between the general release, which omitted Singer from all publicity materials and press stores, and the awards season. Regular audiences can be forgiven for not knowing who directed the movie. Awards voters, not so much. So I think I like that because it did two things. One, it's entirely possible that they regular audience goers, lay people, weren't aware of Singer's attachment to the film until maybe they had seen it 3 or 4 times, and maybe they had tweeted about it and promoted it. Second of all, it also kind of reprimands the critics on Twitter, the professional critics that are very aware of Singer's attachment to this. If they take, you know, if they were involved with the promotion of this film at all, if they took that moment to then say, well, wait a minute, it shouldn't win because of the Singer controversy. You could disagree with it not winning because it has its cinematic issues. Right. Lord knows we do. But if you were part of the reason that it got to its point, and then you want to say, oh, I can't believe this Singer controversy, they would vote for this movie because this man's attached to it. I think that's a little hypocritical at the end of the day.
Where it breaks down for me is, and it asks a big question, Michael. If you like a Michael Jackson song, a Charlie Chaplin movie, a Roman Polanski film, a Woody Allen film, are you doing something wrong as an audience member? Are you supporting somebody who's only been accused, rumored to have done something very effing wrong, and they have not yet been prosecuted, or Polanski, whatever, I know it's up in the air. I think he can be extradited. What's the result of all that? Like, are you doing something wrong by liking a Michael Jackson song when there have been all those?
Sure.
And neither of us have any freaking clue if he's guilty or not guilty. A lot of people say a strong no. A lot of people say a strong yes. I don't know. The same with Roman Polanski and recently Woody Allen, Bryan Singer. What the hell is the answer to that?
I would just want to speak for myself. I'm not speaking for you or the show at large. I'm just speaking personally. For me, what it comes down to is, no, we don't know. But I am under the impression that people don't just go willy-nilly accusing, especially a collection of people all accusing one person of the same thing. Yeah. I tend to believe where there's smoke, there's fire there. That's where I landed on that for one. For right. two, as far as what is our, you know, our part in this as
is
audience
Chinatown
members.
Is Chinatown a bad movie?
Right. I think the answer to that hasn't really been investigated and is just starting to now. And I think that's where you see the audience reaction at the comic cellar in New York City when Louis C.K. tries to come back on the screen. You see all the Twitter fallout when Kevin Spacey makes that weird commercial being the parody or the Frank Underwood character again and talking pseudo in this third person kind of meta way about both his accusations and his role in House of Cards. I think that's just starting to be investigated. And like with any big issue, because I think this is a big societal issue, it's going to take some time for us to find our footing.
So, I mean, yeah, if Bohemian Rhapsody wins the Oscar, let's say, and then the next day, Bryan Singer is arrested, you know, what is our reaction?
Well, see, it's a tough pull because we are so, and we're not the only ones, certainly a bunch of critics, rightfully so, I would say, are so against Bohemian Rhapsody just cinematically.
Right.
Just because of the faults the movie has. So I think that's where the storyline would be, at least for us.
But to the casual moviegoer, I keep coming around to this. Are they doing wrong by liking a movie like Bohemian Rhapsody?
Stuff to, I don't know how you can parse that out. I don't think it's for us to say. I think it's up to your judgment.
Because for 60% of the production, it was directed by a man who was accused right. of bad things.
Again.
And, you know, for, I don't know.
Maybe this is a cop-out, and this is kind of a, Max Borg, again, in my interaction with him, kind of pointed this one out, too, and leaned this way. Maybe, and you just hit on it before, maybe it's a cop-out to have the audience judge it all and put the onus on them, and maybe it is the studio's responsibility. Maybe the studio, maybe Fox, 20th Century Fox, who was the distributor on this, once the Singer controversy came up, even though they put $70 million, $55 million right. into the budget, they should have just said, screw it, we're done with this. We can't put this out. I'm sorry, Remy, we'll put you in another project. We can't do this to the audience. We can't force them into this situation.
To me, there's still so many questions.
Like, yeah,
is Kevin Spacey's whole filmography something that none of us can like? Can I? The Usual Suspects, a movie we've liked. Can we never like it again? Are we assholes for liking it?
My instinct answer, and again, I only speak for myself, American Beauty was one of my favorite movies of all time, and I cannot bring myself to watch it.
Rewatch it.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to rewatch it. I didn't like watching Buster Scruggs with the James Franco stuff. I didn't like that scene, even though it was a cinematically decent scene. That's where I fall. Somebody else's answer may be different, and we could both be totally wrong.
I don't know. But bottom line, I've been asking questions for the last 5 minutes. I don't think somebody's a bad person if they like Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't think they're doing wrong if they like Bohemian Rhapsody. That's just the way I see it.
Totally
I take the opposite effect, approach because I don't. I think they're innocent in the matter, and I think if you're going to criticize a little kid for liking a movie. How about you criticize the people who picked the movie as the best movie of the year?
Well, we could absolutely agree. I think universally that is the ethical standpoint and the objectively decent standpoint.
Yeah.
Being mad at a result is one thing. Choosing to aim that disappointment or anger at a target that has nothing to do with the process is just immature and ludicrous.
And even if you think she's a total idiot for saying what she said.
Right.
And a total
Which
ignorant,
we don't, by the way.
Ignorant buffoon. She's 15 years old.
Right.
And how about, you know, you don't take a swing at everybody that you could take a swing at on Twitter.
So all we're asking for is the entirety of Twitter and everyone on it to not be jerks.
Yeah, just not don't so be bad. Jerks. Just try and be class. Stay classy.
That's an easy
San
thing
Diego.
To fix, right?
Yeah.
I know, you're right. It's in the right place, but I don't know. It seems to be more of an uphill battle with more time that passes, and I think it's only going to be more so. It does bring up a lot of interesting questions, and if you have any advice, let us know where you fall anywhere
you
on
think?
That spectrum. One last Globes piece of news and information before we pivot away from the Globes entirely this year. Variety had to report on the ratings for the Golden Globe. I've seen stuff considering it not too bad. I've seen stuff that's something on Variety that calls it a very disappointing Golden Globes. The ratings were kind of all over the place. They seemed to be up in the target demo of that 18 to 49 sweet spot, but down overall about 5% from last year's overall eyes on the product itself.
Now, I wonder if they're taking into account streaming. Obviously, they're not here with Nielsen.
Sure.
So overall, the streaming number, like just say number of eyes on the Golden Globes, do you think they're bigger or smaller than, let's say, 2005, back when Crash was doing it?
I mean, my answer is in a Trump presidency with a movie like Vice is getting awards, probably down.
You think over, let's say 3 years, the last 3 years of the Globes, 2005, 6, and 7, all right, the change, the increase or decrease, do you think this has gone up or gone down?
I'm biased for me just because of social media, but every time I look on the comments section of a social media page promoting, whether it's the red carpet, the pre-show, whatever, about the Globes, about the Oscars, just a regular story that affects the Oscars in like June that comes out, you just see so many people with so much vitriol for the awards thinking it's just this liberal biased media. So to me, I would suggest that suggests it's down.
So based on the TV numbers, TV by themselves, those numbers, they are down and they've been going down. But the reality of it is how many people are still watching TV, the broadcast, right. How many people are watching it online. They're streaming it. They're doing a million different things. They're slinging it, all that. If you combine all those other numbers of I wonder if the eyes are probably around the same.
So many people that watch it through the computer and stuff. Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know how they would even measure this metric, but if you could find out how many cord cutters did go out of their way to find a stream of the Globes product, just those numbers, that would be interesting to see, because how many people have given up on broadcasts entirely, say, for the award shows, mm-hmm. would certainly be fascinating and worthy of studying, I think. All right, so finally, mercifully, turning hopefully away from the sheer and utter mayhem that the Globes caused all up and down the awards race circuit. We're going to turn our attention now to what's coming up. And like we said at the top of the show, a lot of the guilds are on record having released their nominations in the last couple days, and yes. That's where we're going to pass comment on some of them, if not all of them, that we are able to right now. We're going to finish this in a couple days, like Mike told you as well. The BAFTA's still to come. Our Critics' Choice predictions still to come. That'll be later in the week, but for right now, for this episode, going to concentrate on the Guild. So, Mike, kick us off here and get us started.
Yeah, just overall, it goes from Critics' Associations essentially to the award shows and Board of Reviews, like the Golden Globes and the Hollywood Foreign Press, to the guilds, and this is the guilds phase of nominations, where you have audio, visual, different guilds, writers, guilds, directors, producers. They all nominate their best of the year, and it finishes, the final nominations are BAFTAs and the Academy Awards, because those are two overall overarching groups of people.
Yeah, and which makes sense, because the Academy Awards should be the finish line.
Right.
And these guilds, historically, we're going to get into some of the numbers as we go here, but historically, there's certain guilds that tell you a lot about what may happen in the Academy Awards race, the Oscars race, and there's certain guilds that don't.
All right, the first one, the Cinema Audio Society. They pick basically sound mixing nominees, Michael. So motion picture, live action, A Quiet Place, A Star Is Born, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, and First Man. How is this playing with the pundits? Feinberg says A Quiet Place for editing, A Star Is Born for mixing. Gold Derby said First Man for editing, A Star Is Born for mixing. Award Circuit says First Man for both mixing and editing. That's kind of how your two sound categories are shaping up. This one only mixing. A Star Is Born would be the favorite if you're looking at all the punditry there, Mike.
So all year, right, mm-hmm. Scott Feinberg has been pro A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that the sound categories, the audio categories, he's one of the lone major pundits out there that says, absolutely, this movie's going to be not only nominated, but it's a threat to win it. And he stands by that to his credit. Now, that said, I have zero doubt that Scott is right, as he usually is with such things. And we're going to end up seeing A Quiet Place coming out for either editing or mixing. I forget which we said it was. But the bottom line is, I would expect that to be there. He's not the only one I've seen, as far as every critic I've seen on Twitter and social media, but he's certainly the most notable that's kind of carried the torch for A Quiet Place in one of the sound categories all throughout the year. I don't personally understand it, and we've talked about that numerous times, but again, I expect him to be correct and me to be very, very wrong.
The sound of Bradley Cooper's hair and then the guitar strum.
Yes.
So they're mixing sounds there. And then the First Man, obviously, you know, it's just like a guy in the background smacking his belly in a certain way and throwing like boxes against a wall or whatever they're doing sounds so wonderful.
I think it was Sean Fennessy on The Ringer, might have been Bill Simmons too on that particular episode, but there was an episode they interviewed Damien Chazelle, about everything, soup to nuts, about First Man. Yeah. And first, you learn a couple things. things. One, that Jamie Chazelle is a madman. He's a crazy person that just happened to put his art into making films for our benefit. And secondly, just how intensive the process for everything was. Not only the cinematography, in this case, obviously, the audio as well. Making those sounds, slapping the belly. It's all out there. And it's really a fascinating look. And I'm glad, for as little notice and notoriety as First Man has seemed to have gotten thus far in the precursor process, I'm glad it's kind of, that pendulum's starting to swing back.
Yeah, everybody's coming to their senses. And they're like, yeah, it's kind of a technical masterpiece, and we need to give it
the
credit.
Grenade went off, and everyone was looking at each other in the rubble after the Golden Globes, being like, wait a minute.
But A Quiet Place is mostly a quiet place.
Sure, you know, is.
So like 70% of that movie is dead quiet, and then there's like the guy with the potato chip, Peter Griffin. Griffin or whatever, you know, the monsters in the background.
John Krasinski should make the sequel, just like a New Orleans funeral, marching down the street with a marching band, loud trumpets and stuff.
Let's be honest, we loved the sound in A Quiet Place. We sure did, but even back then, we saw it in theaters. We're like, holy shit!
Yeah, very.
I never knew, you know.
It's just that it's so. The whole story is right. Literally playing off the silence of the movie.
Right, but so a footstep sounds like this. Right. Stepped on a twig or whatever the hell happened in that movie. I don't remember movies we saw almost a year ago today.
Wrong kid died.
Yeah, so essentially, it makes sense that A Quiet Place, because of the quality of work.
But sure.
The quantity is definitely in First Man and Star is Born's favor.
I would like to see First Man, but we'll see what happens. Sure.
Writers Guild, Michael, adapted screenplay. They voted for Black Klansman, Black Panther, Can You Ever Forgive Me, Beale Street, and A Star is Born. Original screenplay went to 8th Grade, Green Book, A Quiet Place, Roma, and Vice. Here's what the pundits are saying. Feinberg had 9 out of those 10 as frontrunners. He does not have A Quiet Place in original. He does have The Favorite. A Star is Born, Green Book, these are his firsts, respectively.
Wow.
We just saw Green Book win it at the Globes.
Star is Born surprises me for Scott Feinberg, yep.
Award circuit has Black Klansman atop the adapted and Green Book atop the original. And Gold Derby has Black Klansman and The Favorite. The critic scoreboards have Beale Street and The Favorite.
Goes off Gold Derby, sure.
So it's very strange.
It really is. All over the place. Seems to be pretty spread out. And that's kind of going to be a running theme, too, for a lot of major categories as we go through these guilds. It seems like as much as momentum's coming back in the undercard for First Man we just talked about, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter. And it could be apropos of nothing, but it did mean something for the Golden Globes. I'm seeing a lot on Twitter for some major categories going Black Klansman's way, which we haven't really seen up to this point yet. Could Spike Lee get something for adapted screenplay here? It wouldn't shock me. Would it surprise you?
No, it wouldn't shock me either. He's been there before. I just wonder if the entire Academy is kind of waiting for the dust to settle where they're like, this movie must win something. Whatever that
Beale
movie
Street,
is.
Yeah, could be
Beale Street, Black Klansman, Black Panther. This movie must win something. A Quiet Place must win something. And it's getting nothing else because everything else is crystallized.
If Regina King somehow doesn't win supporting actress earlier in the night, I could absolutely see Beale Street walking away with adapted screenplay for just that Oscar puzzles type reason. We gotta give it something. Yeah,
I mean, that makes sense. I thought Peele was a better director than he was a screenwriter. I thought that was a better picture than it was a best original screenplay. And I mean, it was a solid screenplay, don't get me wrong, but everything in conjunction going on, I mean, his credit, where should it go? Probably as a director last year. So it makes no sense. And the best script by far was probably Three Billboards in terms of technique and what it pulled off.
Which won the Oscar.
Which
the
won
Golden
the Golden Globe.
Globe. Yeah.
And look, I just rewatched Green Book. It's a hell of a script. It's a funny script. You can analyze it as a true story, a quote unquote true story, and probably beat the shit out of it. You know, that's kind of where everybody's
done,
angry
yeah.
with it right now. So I don't know. To me, I think there's a clear favorite.
Hey-o.
For this award
does
in
it have
one
a U
category
in it?
And the other category, Beale Street, it seems to me like it's up there in any year. We love the 8th grade script. We're going to break this down the line in category reviews. But it's funny to see like critics saying The Favorite
and then press organizations saying Green Book.
Yeah, the Writers Guild winner, like Mike told you, they're split into Best Adapted and Original, just like the Oscars are. They picked the winner of this has been the eventual Oscars winner in both the Adapted Screenplay category and the Original Screenplay category 6 of the last 9 times since 2010. So 2/3 of the time you win here, you go on to win the Oscar in the last decade or so. It's very of note because, like you mentioned, last year Get Out did win Original Screenplay here, despite not even being nominated for the Golden Globes. Adapted last year went to Call Me By Your Name, which was accurate. Also went on to win the Oscar as well.
So do you think the Writers Guilds read the books and nobody else reads the books?
Yes, absolutely, I do. Without question.
So everything I just said is complete and utter bullshit. The Writers Guild, they're just finishing their Audible, you know, they're waiting for their next Audible credit to show up.
I think this one and the director's one, I think the Academy takes a lot of cues from. I think that makes sense. Like, how could we judge if you guys are the ones that do this for a living?
So it's our fault, essentially. It's the critics' fault. So yes. The critics take the critics' pick for best screenplay of the year with a grain of salt. Take the press organization's, you know, view of best screenplay of the year with a grain of salt. Whatever two screenplays.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I land on.
And wait until the writers weigh in, and then everybody in Hollywood's like, oh, the writers
should
pick this.
Be the writers one. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think that makes sense, and I think 3 of the last 4 for original screenplay have gone that way as well.
Well, writers, you were wrong last year. I think there were better scripts than Get Out, and I think Get Out Directors Guild, you were wrong. You should have picked
but
them.
But the writers could also have, to dovetail off your point, they could have their own campaign. It doesn't seem like Jordan Peele's going to win anything, so let's make sure we give him notice for this screenplay. You know, who knows? It could be a billion variables along the way there.
You mean a voting body is just going to try and get a personality?
Plays it politically? Yeah.
That they want to win? They're just going to angle it?
I would never suggest such things. No, of course not. Of course. Society of Cinematographers, Mike.
Okay, theatrical release, Roma, A Star Is Born, The Favorite, First Man, Cold War. Those make sense. Now, you have two black and whites. You have The Favorite with the fisheye lenses.
Yes.
First Man with the quick cutting, and they actually went into space, I think.
I love the cinematography of that movie.
Damien Chazelle kind of just strapped into a rocket.
Yeah, he's like, here, Ryan Gosling, strap into this tomato soup can. We're going to propel you.
Somebody 3,000. Left the American flag back on Earth. That's what happened. Right. The prop kids.
Exactly.
They missed out on that extra $200 million, which they would have gotten.
Like he was already 25,000 feet in the air in the soup can, and right. Chazelle turned and around. He's like, oh shit.
Because they forgot the prop, they came back. He's like all globalist all of a sudden. So that's what happened. So, and then A Star Is Born, like all those concert set pieces were beautifully shot. So that makes some sense,
yes,
there, Michael.
It does.
They do have a Spotlight Award, The Rider, Name, and Girl. It might be Name.
I think it's Name.
I've never seen that movie before.
I've yet to watch Girl. We watched The Rider. We did comment on how beautiful the cinematography was. So it seems like they're very in step, at least with what we're thinking, what critics at large are thinking, because I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of complaints. We've yet to do Cold War. We're going to give it the OSP treatment once we get our hands on it. You hit on a lot of the highlights for me. Roma, probably going to win. Makes a lot of sense. A Star Is Born makes a lot of sense. The Favorite, certainly shot in a unique way to tell a story. First Man, we loved, gushed over the cinematography. So yeah, I get it. It makes a lot of sense for why these ones are the ones that are highlighted.
Black Panther instead of The Favorite is basically Feinberg's list. Roma, Star Is Born, Cold War, First Man, and Black Panther. Essentially, all the punditry is saying Roma. Award circuit, Gold Derby. First Man and The Favorite have a few firsts. Critics associations have Roma with 29 wins. The only other winners, Michael, in the critics associations have 1 win.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that is nuts. That's a runaway favorite there. So just to give you a little history, some numbers about the Society of Cinematographers here. The awards were first given out in 1986, but they didn't accurately pick the eventual Oscars winner for Best Cinematography, save for one time, between the years of 86 to 94. So only one time from 86 to 94 did their winner actually go on to win the Oscar for Best Cinematography. That was 1990's Dances with Wolves. They've had more success recently, though, as they've chosen the eventual Oscars winner in 4 of the last 5 years, the lone exception being when they chose Lion to win Best Cinematography in 2016, and La La Land ended up getting the Oscar in the same category. But like I said, for me, not a lot of complaints. You could have some grievances about Black Panther maybe not being in there for me. It's going to be Roma anyway, so it's
fine. Now, with these guilds, in 1986 to 1994, you must have had a lot of rivalries, a lot of jealousy, a lot of infighting, because Michael, the creme de la creme of the Cinematography Guild, is voting for the Oscar, correct? And the former creme de la creme, the people who have aged out of it, they're in the Academy.
Right.
It's not all of the cinematographers in the Academy.
Right.
It's only a portion in the Academy. So everybody in the guild is saying, Roger Deakins, you're the coolest. You're the coolest every year. We pick you every year, man. You're the best. We're not afraid to say it.
Right.
We follow you. We want to be like you.
Sure.
And then everybody else in the Academy is like half jealous. Like, they didn't pick me. They didn't pick me.
So you think the voting is purely professional jealousy driven to make sure to hold down someone like Roger Deakins?
At that point, yes.
I see.
I have no idea. I thought
I was the one that pitched conspiracy theories
around
here.
I'm just trying to come up with some reason, like popularity contest reason for why the all the cinematographers, like why doesn't the guild winner translate to the Oscars almost all the time?
This is going to be a wild suggestion, but isn't it possible there's a disagreement of opinion? Not a widespread scale.
It's also possible there's a disagreement, but I just think when the whole guild chooses somebody, you know, I mean, you'd think that the best people would agree.
It would suggest, and again, the directing guild, there's a large history of taking their cue from what the directors' guild's awards, and that translates to the Oscars. Does that mean there's more directors that are part of the guild that are in the Academy? Does it mean that there is less jealousy professionally? Who knows? But all right, let's see what drama you can cause with the Art Directors Guild. Go ahead, Mike.
Period films nominated: Buster Scruggs, Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, The Favourite, and Roma. Interesting category, Roma being a period film.
There. Mary Queen of Scots is just not an awards caliber movie. No. Isn't that? I mean, it's a period piece. It's got two A-list women as the headliners, and it's just no love at any point for that movie in anything so much as even the art direction.
Yeah, nobody seems to care about it that much.
Just amazing to me. It really is amazing.
Now, that being said, these are five pretty good nominees, pretty strong nominees.
Yeah, I have no question. Bohemian Rhapsody's everywhere, man.
Yeah, in terms of fantasy films, Black Panther, Grindelwald, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, Mary Poppins Returns, Ready Player One.
Glad to see Ready Player One get a little love there.
Mm-hmm. We have contemporary films, A Quiet Place, A Star Is Born, Crazy Rich Asians, Mission Impossible, Fallout, Welcome to Marwen, and animated films, The Grinch, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Spider-Verse. Isle of Dogs was getting a lot of love for a while. A Star Is Born, Black Panther, they've been highlighted throughout award season. But here's basically the category from Feinberg. It's Mary Poppins Returns and a bunch of those period films. It's the favorite. It's Roma. It's First Man. Black Panther can squeak in. He's on Feinberg's right now, top five, and actually is in the lead in terms of, you know, the rest of the punditry. We have Award Circuit saying The Favorite, and Gold Derby, they're kind of split between The Favorite and Black Panther.
I would love to see Black Panther win it. I think The Favorite will, just because period pieces usually rule the day when it comes to set design, production design, any kind of artistic piece. I would have loved to see Annihilation get some recognition in one of these categories here.
Pretty cool.
And if you're going to nominate...
They do a lot with bones in that movie.
They do. If you're going to nominate Welcome to Marwen, why aren't you nominating Hereditary here? It's the same concept, basically. Yeah. One's just darker than the other.
Yes, I just rewatched Hereditary. I love the whole dollhouse motif. It's like so many times where only two people are moving on screen. It happens so many times. I love it so much. Somebody's playing with these characters like they're dolls, Michael.
I have more fire about Hereditary as we go here. The editors, the Ace Eddies Awards.
Feature drama, BlacKkKlansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, Roma, A Star Is Born, First Man. Worthy nominees, make some sense there. I mean, again, musicals get thrown in these drama categories nowadays. That's just what it is. Golden Globes, you had how many? Two musicals in the best drama? And then you had another musical in musicals. And then the comedies in the fucking comedy category were not funny, and they should have been dramas. The Golden Globes should be embarrassed. They have two fucking musicals in the drama category.
Yeah.
They're so clearly musicals.
I don't disagree.
They got their heads up their asses. We should have known they were going to pick some stupid shit all the way going into the award show.
They have thrown
because they got their categories wrong. They're shot, Michael.
Well, look.
They're shot. Hollywood Foreign Press, you're shot.
Bohemian Rhapsody, not only stunned at the Golden Globes, but now it's being talked about in the Editor Awards. And we always talk about how the best editing category in the Oscars translates to Best Picture in the Oscars.
Here's the difference, and the whole point that I was making is feature drama, they don't have comedy or musical. The Globes had comedy or musical. Feature drama, you can have a musical that's a comedy or a drama,
sure.
I guess.
Sure, and it might so make more sense saying. At this point,
so,
yeah.
And it actually might make more sense. The editors might have it figured out. So, Crazy Rich Asians, Deadpool 2, The Favorite, Green Book, and Vice.
Deadpool 2!
Are the comedies. Yeah,
Deadpool 2, Best editing.
Animated films, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, and Spider-Verse. Does that say who the three big contenders are now? Yeah, I mean, Ralph Breaks the Internet and Mirai are kind of the Grinch.
We seem to have at least 4 or 5. You can probably throw Ralph in there safely. If not, I wouldn't be shocked, though.
Now, what is a documentary if it's not just an edited piece of film?
Yeah.
So documentaries here are Free Solo, RBG, Three Identical Strangers, and Won't You Be My Neighbor. Michael, do you think those are the top four in the circle of documentary films?
I think there's definitely three of them. I think
the issue movies are going to get nominated, though. No,
I would think, and RBG certainly does have her moment in the news right now. She's battling an illness, battling some kind of.
Every day, I think I have the documentary category down, and next thing you know, it's like trip to with the aardvark, and the aardvark said
the award-winning trip with the aardvark, and the Oscar goes to
Arctic aardvark. What the fuck are these?
I
where are these
made this
documentaries
film because
coming
I
from?
Like alliteration.
Yeah, no, I don't follow that category that closely.
Yeah, the Ace Eddies Award. It's the American Cinema Editors. That's their guild, basically. They've only picked the winner for their categories. They've only gone on to win the Oscar 3 of the past 7 years, but it's also been right 37 of the 57 years it's been in existence, so it's a pretty good track record of predicting what will happen at the Oscars to come.
Interesting, but they're not watching all 150 feature film documentary submitted into the Oscar race.
Maybe that's the intern's jobs.
Okay. Michael Feinberg says Black Panther. Award Circuit says A Star is Born. Gold Derby is split right now between Roma and First Man.
We're incredibly biased. I'll speak for myself. I don't know where you would lean, but First Man for me all day with editing.
Yeah, I'm all over that. But I wonder, this could be up in the air, totally up in the air. You have four different picks out of...
And Bohemian Rhapsody wins it again!
Oh, I'm going to start laughing like Brant yeah, from Bette
Lebowski. Because otherwise we'd cry.
All right, some big ones here, Michael. Directors Guild.
Yes.
They say Bradley Cooper, A Star is Born. Alfonso Cuarón, Roma. Peter Farrelly, Green Book. Spike Lee, Black Klansman. Adam McKay, Vice. Those are your five.
No woman. Not a single woman, not a sight to be seen. No woman in the other category either for Best Breakthrough or First Time Director. Which again, we've hit on it previously, and it's more systemic issue than in a year like this where it seems to be about a woman getting snubbed out. There needs to be more opportunity for women to make bigger budget or passion projects or these life story type films that they've always wanted to do.
Absolutely. But even still, like I would argue Deborah Granik, Mariel Heller, over Adam McKay and Peter Farrelly. I would argue that all day.
I would not.
They're above them on my
list.
Yeah,
I would not put up an argument for that, especially because I'm starting to turn the corner on Vice a little bit after you and Christian Bale's acceptance speech has beaten
no,
me down.
That being said, Yorgos and Damien Chazelle are probably better than them all, and maybe except for Cuarón, and what are we doing?
Yeah, it doesn't seem, but again, Directors Guild seems to be the one that has the most indication of
damn
what's
going
to happen with the Oscars, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I guess.
Well, Cuarón's probably going to win it because he is in the lead of everything on the critics scoreboard. He's just got 30 wins, 29 wins, something like that. Gold Derby saying Cuarón. Award Circuit saying Cuarón. Feinberg front runners are Cuarón, Cooper, Farrelly, Coogler, and Lee instead of Farrelly. So that would be cool too. Black Panther's a movie that we thought the world of. Ryan Coogler going from
I would love if Coogler got in for Best Director, I'd do a backflip.
Yeah, I mean the size and scope of that movie.
Absolutely.
I would love to see a Marvel
integrating
movie.
All the,
see,
the
yeah.
effects, practical and visual. Absolutely,
something of that size.
Wikipedia says only 7 times since the Directors Guild of America Awards inception has the Directors Guild of America Award winner not won the Academy Award, including it's done so. It's picked the right winner 14 of the last 15 years consecutively. How about just from a nomination standpoint? The last 5 years in a row, the DGA has housed 4 of the eventual 5 Oscar nominees within their own award.
Right.
So they are on a streak now of getting 4 of the 5 eventual nominees at the Oscars right. Never mind just the winner.
Not a lot of infighting and professional jealousy and catfighting like the 80s Cinematography Guild?
Yes.
In the Director's Guild.
That would seem to be the case. If you're going to pick one guild to kind of choose as gospel for your Oscars pool or your Oscars picks and predictions...
Directors.
I personally will be going with Directors. I would suggest you go with the Director's Guild here. It seems to be the most in-line one.
They also recognize some first-time directors. Bo Burnham from 8th Grade. Bradley Cooper from A Star Is Born. He'll probably win it because he's in the big category. Carlos Lopez Estrada from Blindspotting. Matthew Heiderman from A Private War. And Boots Riley from Sorry to Bother You. Michael, you have it written down. I'll let you read it.
No Ari Aster. What does the guy have to do? What does Hereditary have to do?
Mike, the movie takes place in a dollhouse. No, we loved Ari Aster this year. That's fine. These are other worthy nominees, Mike, and you have something.
I really don't. It's tough. It's
you like that transition. You have something. Right?
Yeah, well, whatever.
I guess you say I'll something now.
Let you talk. I really don't have a big qualm. It's tough. You know, I love Bo Burnham, Bradley Cooper. I think they did a respectable job. Scott Feinberg pointed out this little nugget. I wanted to give him congrats to Matt Heineman, who's DGA nom for Best First Time Director for A Private War on the heels of his DGA nom for Best Director he won for Cartel Land appears to make him and Martin Scorsese the only filmmakers ever nominated for both narrative and documentary DGA awards, so that's obviously a big deal. No qualms for me. I would like to see Ari Aster in there, but he's not. I think the five that are in there are certainly worthy. Blindspotting is making a lot of noise. It's kind of like an underground favorite, so that'd be nice to see that get some recognition. But again, no women here in the first-time directors category either.
Yeah, this is really alarming for me, because is there a problem, a systemic problem, with women getting their first feature now in today's world? I thought I saw a lot more female-made movies this year by new directors, which is a great thing.
My response to that is going to be when you have the heads of certain production companies, very successful production companies, and their default thinking, like you heard Jason Blum say, is, well, there's women that don't want to do this drama. There's just no success. Yeah, I think that's a systemic problem. I think there's going to be more closed doors than open ones for opportunities like that.
It's unfortunate. Producers Guild, Michael, outstanding producer of a feature theatrical motion picture. We have Black Klansman, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Green Book, A Quiet Place, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. This category translates most to Best Picture, and here is how the pundits are seeing it. Feinberg, trade out Crazy Rich Asians for First Man. He still thinks First Man's going to get a nom at the end of the day, but it's on the edge of his list.
Preach, Scotty.
Gold Derby still has A Star Is Born leading, Roma, and Green Book also getting Best Picture votes there. I think it's starting to spread out a little bit. Award Circuit says Roma. I wonder if Bohemian Rhapsody is going to get a nom at the end of the day, but the Producers Guild, they have it up there.
Unfortunately, absolutely going to end up nominated, especially, again, after its gold success. But the awards, this award has only been given out since 1990, but in its 28 ceremonies, the Producers Guild here has only failed to crown the eventual Best Picture Oscar winner 9 times. Two of those 9 times have taken place in the last 3 years, though. Last year, for the first time, they actually had 11 nominees in the category. This year, that list, once again, is down to 10. Funnily enough, though, even as recently as last year, they've been hit or miss with projecting category nominees, as the PGA list included non-Best Picture nominees The Big Sick, Molly's Game, I, Tonya, and Wonder Woman last year, but did not include Best Picture nominees Darkest Hour, Phantom Thread, and The Post. They were more accurate the year before. But it, again, it's hit or miss as far as noms, but the big story is the winner.
So they like more popular films in a sense. So
if you go through the Producers Guild list year by year, there's certainly more well-received films that they nominate more so than the Academy does, without question.
So Quiet Place, Bohemian Rhapsody, Crazy Rich Asians shouldn't feel all that, you know, happy for getting a Producers Guild nom.
Well, they should be happy, but
they're not like, all right, we're definitely getting an Oscar nom now.
I would say Bohemian Rhapsody should be more pleased with the Golden Globe outcome.
Yeah, the win. They kind of won over there. So 19 out of the last 28, but only 1 out of the last 3.
Correct.
Okay.
So, again, nobody knows anything.
My brain only works in one direction. If you actually throw a negative there, like you said, failed to, and now, now I got it.
That's on me. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's a me problem, no question, but okay.
Animated category in the Producers Guild as well.
The Grinch, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Spider-Verse.
Not a lot to add, I don't think. I mean, it seems that 4 of these are in stone. Ralph, you could countdown as maybe a maybe, but...
We've done all four on OSP so far this year, Mike.
Yeah, sure have. Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Spider-Verse, that's going to be there. There's one spot left, and the Producers Guild gave it to the Grinch.
Mike, what the fuck is the Dawn Wall? What is Into the Okavango? I learned about these documentaries today. They are nominated for Producers Guild Awards.
Yes.
I didn't even know they existed, and I've seen 240 movies this year.
Well, if you want to get worried about Won't You Be My Neighbor, this is the category to get worried on. The Guild, Producers Guild, gave, this was Jane's crescendo last year. Yeah. Jane won this category. Everyone predicted it would win the Oscar, too, and then it wasn't even nominated. And mayhem erupted, which eventually led to Icarus winning Best Documentary Feature category. Now, was Jane as strong of a leader last year as Won't You Be My Neighbor has been this year? I don't know. Won't You Be My Neighbor, Three Identical Strangers, and Free Solo all seem like they are definitely going to be three of the five noms.
Yeah, Free Solo, Hal, Three Identical Strangers, Won't You Be My Neighbor. I mentioned those other two, the Dawn Wall and Okavango. What the fuck? Where do they come from? I'm sure they're beautiful.
Well, this is also the category, if you're going to project and use a guild to predict future success at the Oscars.
RBG, too, yeah.
This is going to be the one that has the least amount of success. Last year, we had the Jane issue. The year before, the Lone documentary that was even nominated from this list here at the Producers Guild that was at the Oscars as well was the winner, O.J. Made in America, which was basically a cheat code of a documentary anyway. And that, Film Year 2015 was more of the same.
Yeah, that was a TV series.
Producers Guild in 2015 only ended up with two documentaries that would eventually be nominated at the Oscars as well. So don't take anything here for more than a grain of salt.
Interesting. I was trying to get some good feeling from Free Solo, Three Identical Strangers, and Won't You Be My Neighbor, all favorites of mine, nominated here. I was just like, can I relax yet? Are they going to make
Look elsewhere, man, for comfort. Not here. Not in the Producers Guild. So let's talk about, let's end on a bit of a scheduling note here, Mike. Talk about what's coming up in the next couple days as far as the Oscars race here, the sprint.
So the Critics' Choice Awards are this Sunday, Taye Diggs. We're going to watch the CW.
Yes, of course, as we did last year.
7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. That happens on Sunday. The BAFTAs are tomorrow. Like I said, BAFTA nominations finally get their announcement.
Well, tomorrow you'll be listening to this today, so they'll be later today, right?
BAFTAs are today, and I've skipped forward in time. But going from weekend to weekend, Mike, here's the overall schedule. The PGA Awards are 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Because Critics' Choice, so I'm going weekend by weekend. Critics' Choice, PGAs, SAGs, Screen Actors Guild, Directors Guild, BAFTAs, Writers Guild, Indie Spirits the day before the Oscars.
Well, there you go.
And then in terms of Oscar schedule, we have the voting opened up the 7th. The voting closes January 14th for the nominations. Those nominations are announced on January 22nd.
Yeah, so in terms of the immediate future, we have Critics' Choice this weekend, PGA Awards next weekend, Oscar noms that Tuesday at like 5 a.m. at some ungodly hour where they'll come out and say... Olivia Colman!
But for us, it's 8 a.m., isn't it?
Yes, thank God.
Yeah, for them, it's 5 a.m. Yeah.
Okay. And this is going to be the time I would just like to randomly, for no reason whatsoever, with absolutely no introduction or preface needed or context, just want to remind everyone that Toni Collette is right now in second place for the most lead actress wins awards of this year.
Critics award season, associations so. Love her, listens to us critics. Yeah. Sometimes we know what we're talking about.
I don't
about.
Know if there's, you know, any kind of important voting going on that you want to write her name down for, but maybe she should be nominated for some bigger awards.
Hollywood press people, they have failed in terms of their awards picks right now. So you have to default, Academy, to the critics, don't you?
To us, specifically.
To us.
To this show, to MMO.
Mike and Oscar. Yeah. It's and an this... emerging podcast about the award season, which is basically just a way to us for us to have a semblance of friendship and and socialization skills.
Getting deep. Getting deep and dark, as we always like to do at the end here. Guys, we want to hear your thoughts on any of these guilds. It's certainly the fallout from the Golden Globes. Are you happy, sad, or otherwise discontented from what happened with Bohemian Rhapsody, Elsie Fisher, and all the other fallout? Are you rooting for something? As you know, we are. Certainly with the Toni Collette nomination, we still have our fingers crossed. We will see what happens. Screen Actors Guild may have a lot to say about that. That's in the coming weeks. Reach out to us, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM, and Oscar on the Twitter machine, MikeMikeAndOscar.com @gmail.com and on Reddit. We are available everywhere you do hear podcasts. Tune in, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, etc., etc. Michael, Long day, a lot of words, a lot of numbers.
Yeah, I can't find any wisdom except it's wisdom in our favor, I would say.
All right.
So this is beneficial to us.
Good.
So I'm being transparent about that.
I like it.
If you give us a review right now on iTunes and hit those 5 stars, you know, this is kind of our hubbub. This is our big time of year.
Sure is.
The award season. So if ever you are going to review our podcast on iTunes, please do it. Now that would help us the most.
That would certainly, we would really appreciate it.
You know, we're a year-round pod and we have a world of fun, or, you know, the entire calendar with series. We did Halloween, we do Christmas movies, we do
MCU,
Mission Impossible. So basically, we're going to do Pixar this coming year, I think. Mike's eyes just fell out of his head because he just thought of all those movies.
I can't
movies.
Even think about post-Oscar stuff right now. As far as I'm concerned, our year is over.
We're going to have a lot of fun to come calendar year round. But in terms of our biggest ratings push, no question about it. We're trying to grow. If you can give us those 5 stars at the very least, and of course, if you can just say, Mike and Mike are pretty cool, and just write something in there with a 5-star, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. We would truly appreciate that. We'll give you candy.
We will.
In a strange van.
We will metaphorically give you candy. I don't know about the van part.
Well, I'll speak for myself then. All right, guys. Reality Sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Andy's Guild announcements and awards. Stick with us. We're going to have a lot more on this horse race. The Oscar sprint is in full fleet. Yeah, let's say that right now. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.